For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. It is a privilege and honor to be here with you today. My co-host, Dana Lake, will return next week, so don't forget to tune in. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., bringing you the best related to health and wellness. Today is no exception. I'm really excited about today's show. I'm going to be talking about a topic that I discuss with my patients pretty much every day that many people don't consider all that much in regards to how it might affect their health, and that issue is sleep. We're going to talk about an overview of some different aspects of sleep. I'm going to talk about the physiology of sleep, why it's so important, how it works, and then we're going to talk about different approaches to helping people with sleep. And we're going to talk about some of the main reasons why people can't sleep. We know that sleep medications are one of the most common medications that people take: Ambiens, Lunestas, Trazodones, Xanax. These drugs are commonly prescribed for sleep and sleep issues, and many people experience significant sleep problems. But what we don't realize is, and I have found many times, if you look at the person's physiology in an individualized way, you can oftentimes uncover the reason why they're not sleeping. Many people have tried natural approaches to supporting their sleep. They may have tried melatonin or some other type of popular sleep aid, maybe an herbal mix or a homeopathic mix, and said, it didn't work for me. It's probably because it wasn't targeting the right defect that was causing their sleep problems, or the right imbalance that was causing their sleep problems. For some people, it may be a lack of melatonin, and those people get phenomenal results when they use melatonin. But for somebody else, that maybe is not the reason why they can't sleep. And we're going to talk about today some of the different individualized approaches we can take to assessing what type of sleep dysfunction somebody might be experiencing, in an effort to make a plan, a natural plan, to help them rest, because sleep is incredibly critical to health and well-being, and we're going to really talk about that in detail in today's show. So before we start out, there's a couple things that I want to talk about, just an overview related to some things trending in the news related to health. I thought this was an interesting story. There's a bill up in Virginia right now, and it was actually signed by Governor Bob McDonald, the Lyme Disease Information Disclosure Act. So this is a bill that passed in Virginia and is now going to become law. This is for the 2013 session. And this is an interesting bill because, you know, in my work, I definitely see a lot of people that have Lyme and Lyme-related problems. And, you know, unfortunately, it's a lot more common in this area than people tend to think it is. And what this bill is going to do is help to encourage people to understand some of the different aspects of what's going on with Lyme and Lyme-related problems. And what the bill is basically doing is it is requiring that doctors share with patients some of these ideas about Lyme disease, and this idea that it's a way to inform people. So it requires the state health department to talk with doctors about the fact that Lyme disease oftentimes is not easily detectable on standard testing. And what they and it, the bill requires that doctors share this with patients, because many times people, and the reason why this came up in Virginia is because Northern Virginia has one of the highest rates of Lyme disease in the entire country, and it's really not that much different when you cross the border to Maryland. Maryland is considered one of five endemic states for Lyme disease, meaning that the rates of diagnosis and presence of the organism is one of the highest And of these five endemic states, I believe it's Minnesota, Maryland, Connecticut. I know those are three. I think New York, and then there's one other. There's only five in the country, and it just means rates are very high. In Northern Virginia, there's a lot of diagnosis of Lyme disease, and many people are aware that they're suffering from a constellation of symptoms that might very much seem like Lyme disease. They maybe have some joint pains, muscle pains. They maybe are experiencing fatigue issues. Sometimes it can even manifest with nerve and neurological problems, muscle weakness. It can be what are called paresthesias, which are things like numbness and tingling in the extremities, like fingers and toes, sleep disturbances, confusion, brain fog, cognition issues. People have difficulty focusing, concentrating. Now, you know, I mean, it's one thing if somebody suffered with this all their life, but if all of a sudden somebody who was easily able to sit down and read a book and comprehend it, or sit down and do math tasks, and I see this commonly in the teenage population that I work with, because they're in school and they're taking calculus and pre-cal in their math classes, never had a problem with this type of mental processing, and all of a sudden now having a problem with it. These are all potential symptoms. So people, and a lot of doctors are aware that Lyme disease can cause symptoms similar to this, but the conventional testing that's done for Lyme disease, and some of the quotes of the representatives that passed this bill, use numbers like as much as 71% of the tests that are used, or 71% of the time, the tests that are used to detect Lyme disease show what's called a false negative. So that means that the person actually has it, but the test shows a negative 71% of the time. That is a huge rate of false negative when we're dealing with a very devastating condition that people suffer with for a long time. And the reality with this condition is that the longer it goes untreated, the more difficult it is to get under control. So if somebody initially presents with symptoms and they get treatment right away, it is much easier for their symptoms to resolve completely. The longer symptom conglomerations exist, no matter how aggressive the treatment is, the longer it takes for them to go away. So to have this high rate of false negatives, and that's exactly what this bill is set to establish, which is really, really fantastic, because I don't know any other bill like this that's been passed anywhere else in the country that requires doctors to share this information with their patients and say, listen, I understand that you have symptom A, B, C, and D, which very much look like a Lyme complex. I did the test. Your test was negative, but please understand that 70% of the time you can have the condition or have the disease and the infection and test negative. That's a whole different story than when patients have this conglomeration of symptoms. They go to their doctor, they get the testing, and the doctor says, I'm sorry, but your test was negative. You don't have Lyme disease. Well, now they're left wondering. When what I see with these patients is they move on to the next doctor. Maybe they go to the neurologist to get a workup for their neurological issues. Everything comes back normal. Then they end up at the rheumatologist to get a workup for the pain that they're experiencing in their joints, and everything comes back normal. And then they're back at their primary care doctor's office, and they're scratching their head. And these people get no answers. There's no other test that shows any significant pathology or disease, whether it's rheumatology, neurology, or any of the other workups. Gastroenterology is sometimes involved. And people are just left wondering, well, my doctor told me I don't have Lyme. The test was negative. I don't have any of these other things. I have no idea what's going on. Maybe this is all in my head. And people don't get the treatment that they need to move forward on the path to getting well. Now, this test won't change a lot of the, or this law won't change a lot of the complexity around that issue, but what it will do is just at least inform people from the physician, from the doctor, the person that they're trusting, to hear the information that, listen, this test may not be all that accurate. So I thought that was a really interesting bill that became a law. I'm not quite sure when it goes into effect or not. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to be launching into these aspects around sleep. I want to take you through the different sleep cycles and actually how sleep works in the body, because most people don't understand this. Most people realize, yeah, you go to sleep, there's maybe a couple phases, I think there's something called REM where I dream, and then I wake up. That's really, sleep is a lot more complicated than that. And to understand how you're sleeping and how restful your sleep is, you need some type of overview of the different sleep cycles, because we actually go through about five or six of them at least a night. So you can learn a lot about, you know, how you're sleeping and how you're resting once you understand these cycles, because some of it will relate to how much you dream and how much you don't dream, and some of that relates to how restful sleep is or not. So I know that when I got this piece of information, when I heard a psychiatrist who specialized in sleep disorders talk about the different sleep stages and I understood and applied it to the patterns that I have when I sleep, I really learned a lot about myself and learned a lot about how restful and rejuvenating my sleep actually was or wasn't. And it helped me create strategies to make my sleep optimal, which greatly improved my overall energy levels and how I feel. And so, and then we're going to talk about the issues, the common issues that people have, trouble falling asleep, trouble staying asleep, the different things that contributed to it, like hormone imbalances, neurotransmitter imbalances. We're going to go through all of that. So stay tuned. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living. Looking forward to educating you all about how important sleep is. So I'm going to be back right after this break.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. bringing you the best information related to health and wellness. I am your host, Dr. Kevin Passero, and as always, am deeply grateful for the opportunity to be here with you on the radio today, hopefully helping you understand concepts related to health and wellness and your body to live healthier, more vibrant lives. Today, we're talking about sleep issues, and this is a really important topic from my perspective because sleep issues affect so many people. Now, let's talk about that. Number one, we know that prescriptions for sleep medicines are in the top 10 of top prescribed medications. So we know that many Americans have significant difficulty when it comes to sleep. Beyond that, I see so many people, part of my intakes, my initial intakes with patients are 90 minutes. We spend a lot of time together to get to know each other because that's what you have to do in order to be able to truly do a holistic and integrative approach to medicine. You really got to listen and understand and ask questions and get a whole picture of somebody the first time you meet so you can really start to craft a comprehensive approach to treatment. Now, I always talk about sleep. No initial intake goes by without discussing sleep. So I always ask the question, you know, how's your sleep? Majority of time, I often get the answer, it's fine. But then I start asking the deeper questions. Do you ever have trouble falling asleep? And maybe I get the response, well, you know, sometimes I do, or they say, not really. And I say, well, about how long does it take you? I don't know, an hour and a half. I read in bed or I watch TV. Well, that's not sufficient. It shouldn't take an hour and a half of reading to be able to fall asleep. So that is identified as a problem. Then I may say, all right, if you fall asleep, okay, or it's somebody who doesn't have trouble falling asleep, do you wake up in the night? Well, yeah, I usually wake up two times, you know, maybe or one time to go to the bathroom. Okay, no big deal. If you wake up to use the restroom or get up, when you get back in bed, do you fall back asleep easily? Well, sometimes. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. There are nights where it can take me an hour and a half to fall back asleep. That's a problem, another significant problem. If you can't get back to sleep for an hour, hour and a half, your sleep is now very disrupted and it's not restful. So, and then there are people that get up multiple times a night, maybe three or four times a night where they're tossing and turning. And the next question is, out of 7 nights a week, how many nights does this happen? Well, some people will say, you know, well, 4 or 5 nights a week, typically I'll either have significant trouble falling asleep or significant trouble staying asleep. That is a significant problem and issue. And people get so used to the reason why people say, no, doc, I don't have any problems with sleep. And then when I dig further into asking the questions, we actually understand that they do have trouble sleeping is because people get so used to their state of sleep deprivation. Okay. Now, I am a little bit on the younger side. I've had 2 children. I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. My 5-year-old slept through the night at 6 weeks old, so we didn't have to deal with major sleep disruptions. My 2-year-old, when he was born, it took him a year to get through the night without waking up twice for a significant period of time. Because I had been somebody that had always slept so well and uninterrupted, that year of my life when this child was not sleeping well was incredibly disruptive to my overall health and well-being, as well as my wife. It was very difficult to go from 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted, high-quality sleep to these broken-up sleep patterns. Now, if I had to continue on that sleep pattern, I probably would have gotten used to a state of somewhat sleep deprivation, and that becomes the pattern and the norm. And that is what people get used to. They don't realize that taking a long time to fall asleep or having difficulty staying asleep is actually a major problem. Now, people come in and we discuss all sorts of health issues. One of the most common things that people talk to me about is fatigue. They feel tired. They feel run down. They don't have the energy level like they used to. They maybe have a little more difficulty with their memory, with their focus, with their concentration. And we're thinking of all these other things. Well, what's going on with your thyroid? What's going on with your stress management and adrenal system? How's your nutrition? What's going on with your nutrient levels? You know, how are your we're looking at all of these different aspects related to energy and metabolism. And we're talking about, you know, they're may not losing weight as easily as they used to. We're looking at all of these factors, but nobody's really asking the questions, how restful and rejuvenating is your sleep? Because sleep is the time of day when your body recoups and recovers. And if you're in a chronic state of sleep deprivation, you're going to have issues related to memory difficulty, cognition issues, low-grade fatigue and feeling run down and tired. So these are all really important issues. Sometimes all I need to do to get people to feel significantly better with some of the issues that they come to me for is to get them sleeping well. And let's talk about what sleeping well really means, because you may be somebody who falls asleep easily and stays asleep throughout the night. However, the quality of your sleep may not be good quality sleep. So let's first understand kind of what sleep is about. So sleep is technically defined as a naturally recurring state characterized by reduced or absent consciousness, relatively suspended sensory activity, and inactivity of nearly all voluntary muscles. Sleep is also characterized by a heightened anabolic state, accentuating the growth and rejuvenation, listen to that word, rejuvenation, of the immune system, the nervous system, the skeletal and muscular system. That is a really, really important sentence to understand because, number one, heightened anabolic state. We have an anabolic state of our body and a catabolic state. The catabolic state is the state that our bodies are in all throughout the day. We have surges in catabolic hormones like cortisol, which is a stress hormone. It naturally has a circadian rhythm where it surges and spikes in the morning when we get up, typically within about 30 minutes to an hour of waking. That cortisol, that stress hormone, is catabolic. It suppresses our immune system. It breaks down inflammation. It breaks down our muscle fat storage depots to liberate energy, and it allows us to get through the stress of the day. Whether that's the stress of traffic and kids and work and all the things that we deal with in today's lifestyle, or rewind 100,000 years, and it's the stress of finding clean water, clean food, finding warmth, avoiding predators. We all have to deal with stress on a day-to-day basis, and our bodies have developed this surge of hormones during the day that give us the tools we need to get through that stress. But that is stress on our body. So sleep is the time when the anabolic hormones spike. Cortisol levels fall to their lowest point before midnight, and as cortisol levels drop off, we get surges in other hormones, specifically and most notably, growth hormone. Growth hormone is the hormone that literally keeps us young. It's the strongest anabolic hormone that we have in our body, and it helps to rejuvenate and restore all of the damage that was done throughout the body from cortisol. So if you're not sleeping well or your sleep is interrupted, you will have disruptions in your body's ability to produce these very important anabolic or rebuilding hormones that should be spiking at night. If you're not doing that, you're not going to rest well, you're not going to age well, and we know that if you take animal models, like the experiments they do on mice, and you deprive the mice of sleep over and over and over again, you don't let these mice sleep, they end up dying. Typically, they get sepsis, an infection in the blood, and they die. Their immune system, their bodies can no longer hang on. And we know that sleep deprivation in humans causes significant problems with the immune system, our cognition issues, our memory, our ability to learn new tasks, our focus, our concentration, our physical state. Sleep deprivation is very detrimental. So let's talk about some of the different types of sleep cycles, because this is important. So in mammals, sleep is divided into two broad types. We have the rapid eye movement, that's the REM sleep, and the non-rapid eye movement, or oftentimes abbreviated NREM sleep. Each type has a distinct set of associated physiological and neurological features. So the American Academy of Sleep Medicine divides non-REM sleep into three stages, N1, N2, and N3, and N3 is also called delta sleep or slow wave sleep. And that's a really, really important one. Everybody thinks REM is the most important, but let's talk about these different stages. So non-REM stage one sleep. This is the stage between sleep and wakefulness. So this is when you're kind of just dozing off. Muscles are active still, eyes are kind of slowly rolling, opening and closing moderately. That's kind of that stage one where you may jolt yourself awake or have some twitches. Your body's still kind of active, your muscles are still active, and you're on that phase of fading out. Non-REM stage two sleep, you get what's called some theta brainwave activity. And in this stage, it gradually becomes harder to awaken the person who's sleeping. In this stage, the alpha waves of the previous stage one are interrupted by abrupt activity called sleep spindles or K complexes. That's kind of the terminology. So we're now in stage two, getting into a little bit of a deeper sleep state. It's really harder to arouse the person sleeping. Now, non-REM stage three, this is called slow wave sleep. It's initiated by a certain area of the brain, and it consists of very high amounts of delta activity. The sleeper becomes much less responsive to the environment, and many environmental stimuli no longer produce any reaction. So basically, you're out in slow wave sleep. Then we have REM sleep. Now the sleeper enters into rapid eye movement where your muscles really become paralyzed. So basically, you know, your body is pretty much limp, your musculoskeletal system. REM sleep is turned on by certain hormones like acetylcholine and is inhibited by neurons that secrete other neurotransmitters like serotonin. And we'll talk about how important serotonin is in the role of sleep. This level is referred to also sometimes as paradoxical sleep, because the person sleeping, although exhibiting brain waves similar to a waking state, it's harder to arouse the person than in any other sleep stage. So it's kind of a little bit paradoxical, this weird relationship, because the person is in a deeper physical sort of trance or sleep than any other stages, but when we monitor brain activity, the brain is very active, similar to how the brain activity that we see in a waking person. Now, an adult reaches an REM sleep stage approximately every 90 minutes throughout the night. And REM sleep is more dominated by the later phases in the evening or in the morning, so the later stages of sleep. So if you sleep 6 hours, you start to get more REM sleep towards the end of that, which is why a lot of times you really remember when you wake up from your alarm clock this really vivid dreaming that was going on, because that's where dreaming occurs, is in the REM portion of sleep. Now, so sleep proceeds in these cycles of REM and non-REM, usually 4 to 5 of them per night. And the order is typically stage 1, non-REM sleep, progressing to stage 2, non-REM sleep. Then you get into this really deep, this slow wave, stage 3, non-REM sleep. Then you come out of it a little bit to a lighter sleep of the back to the stage 2 and then into REM. And that's what people don't really realize, that it's really important to go through these sleep phases. So it's light sleep, it's phase 1, phase 2, deep sleep, back to phase 2, and then REM. And this is what I really learned, or what really impressed me when I was learning about these different sleep cycles, is that there were many nights that I spent with very, very vivid dreaming, seemed like all night long, where I dreamt and dreamt and dreamt, and it seemed like it never ended. And I always knew that the days I woke up where I dreamed very actively all night long, I never felt well rested. So even though I was in this quote-unquote dreaming REM state throughout the night, I knew intuitively that I was not feeling like I was getting the rest that I wanted. The most restful mornings that I would have are the nights when I would go to sleep, it feels like 5 minutes pass, there's very little dreaming, and I wake up 7 hours later and I feel incredibly refreshed and rejuvenated. And that is because on those nights, I probably did better sleep cycling, where I spent more time in this deep, slow wave stage 3 sleep and less time in REM sleep. What was likely happening with me and with many people is that I was going through stage 1, I was going to stage 2, missing stage 3 and going right to REM. And I would cycle through that 4 or 5 times a night, really skipping that slow wave phase 3 or stage 3 sleep, which is the most important for rejuvenation and feeling good. Now, REM sleep is really important, and it we know it's really important in infants. It fosters brain development. We know it's important in adults as well, but that phase 3 sleep is so important. And now we're in the next segment. What I'm going to talk to you about or some of these aspects of neurotransmitters. Now, what I found for me is that certain amino acid therapies that I started using supported a better balance of neurotransmitters that allowed my body to get into a better and more consistent pattern where I was reaching that stage 3 of sleep. And what a world of difference it has been for my overall health, well-being, level of feeling of restfulness in the morning, how I feel like when I wake up. And I see this in my patients that I work with day in and day out, making sure that we get through those different phases of sleep. So that's a basic general overview of sleep, how important it is, why we need it, and some of the different stages. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about how to encourage your body to fall asleep easily and get through these stages the way they need to be, so sleep is optimized. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Pastero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and I'm going to be back right after this break.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care, to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise.
For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet. Committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and as always, it is an honor and a privilege to be on the radio sharing information with health and wellness with you. Hope that you always learn great things from our show. Remember, we're on every Sunday from 10 to 11. And if you want to listen to any of our previously recorded shows, please go to www.myvillagegreen.com. And on the right-hand side of the homepage, there's a microphone icon. If you click on that icon, it'll take you to our archive show section. And you can download any of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free. It's a great resource to get a free education on all these great topics we've done with health and wellness. Now, today we've been talking about sleep and sleep issues. And again, I can't stress how important this is in people's overall health and well-being and how commonly people ignore the fact that they are quite sleep deprived. So in the last segment, I tried to give a little bit of an overview of some of the importance of sleep. We talked about the different sleep stages. And again, you know, hopefully some of you learned something with that. For me, it was incredibly enlightening to learn about these different stages and how we cycle through them 5 or 6 times a night. And you might, you know, you might have a sense where there are times in the night where you just vaguely remember kind of rolling over and switching to the other side. Or if you sleep with a partner next to you in bed, you know, you may watch them kind of roll over, or you watch your children and they're sleeping, and then all of a sudden they kind of stretch and yawn and then go back to sleep. That's basically they've completed a sleep cycle. They've gone through stage 1, they've gone through stage 2, they've gone through stage 3, back to stage 2, they've done some REM dreaming, and now they're cycling back to stage 1, the lightest phase. And when they get back to that lighter phase, they kind of become a little bit more alert, awake, there's maybe a yawn, a stretch, a roll, a move, and then boom, they're right back, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 2, and then REM, and then back again. And we go through that 5 or 6 times a night. So just to give an overview, I'm going to just read off a list of symptoms that can be a result of chronic sleep deprivation. You have things, irritability, cognitive impairment, so difficulty thinking, concentrating, focusing, memory lapses or loss. So people come to me all the time, "Doc, I feel like my memory is not as good as it used to be." Well, there are lots of factors that can contribute to that, but let's talk about sleep and make sure you're sleeping well. Impaired moral judgment, so making good decisions, severe yawning, hallucinations, symptoms similar to ADHD. So how important is it that children get good quality sleep? An impaired immune system. We talked about that a little bit in the previous segments. An increased risk of type 2 diabetes. an increased risk of heart rate variability and an increased risk of heart disease, decreased accuracy when it comes to muscle, fine muscle and motor skills, muscle tremors, muscle aches. You can have growth suppression, increased risk of obesity, and decreased basal body temperatures when you have lack of sleep. So let's talk about why people may have trouble sleeping and some of the different things that I see most commonly affect sleep. I'm going to break them down in a couple different portions. And the first two that I'm going to talk about that I see are really the most important have to do with hormonal balance and have to do with neurotransmitters. Okay, so hormonal balance, what are we talking about here? Let's start with that aspect of health and imbalance. So number one that's really important are the sex hormones. Now, for any women out there that are listening, you may have a little bit of a greater experience with this for several reasons. Number one is that women's bodies go through a major hormonal flux every month as they have their monthly menstrual cycles as part of their fertility cycle. And many women experience some sleep disturbances around the premenstrual time or during the menses when the hormone levels shift dramatically. And that is one bit of evidence that hormones can significantly, especially the sex hormones, we're talking about estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone, can have a significant impact on sleep. Now, even more telling than the premenstrual scenario is the women going through perimenopause or menopause. That is the most common and obvious time of life when we see sex hormone imbalances create significant sleep problems. And I would say that about 60 to 80% of women that are going through perimenopausal or menopausal issues really take note of significant problems with sleep. And this may be a woman who never had any difficulty with sleep prior to this point in her life. So we know sex hormones play a huge role in sleep disturbances. And the same goes for men as well. Men's hormones are a lot more stable through their reproductive years. They do have some cycling and fluxing of testosterone throughout the circadian rhythm of the day and can even have some fluxing within the course of a month, but nowhere near as dramatic as women. So we're a little less sensitive and keyed into our bodies in regards to this hormone flux. And then in regards to andropause, that's the male equivalent to menopause. When testosterone levels start to drop, men can oftentimes experience some sleep disturbances or sleep problems or decreased quality of sleep. So what do we do in this situation? Well, number one, we need to look at what's going on with the hormonal system. And usually this is going to focus on women and women's health mainly because they're going to be the primary sufferers of sleep disturbances as their bodies go through major hormonal swings. And there are lots of very, very viable options. I encourage people, you know, my entire show last week was with Dr. Joseph Lamb, a very well-respected integrative medical physician, who, and all we talked about was hormone replacement therapy, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, herbs for dealing with hormone balance. So listen to that show, because if you're having sleep issues that are seem to be a result or coinciding with changes in your hormones that may be associated with getting older, we need to fix that to get you resting and sleeping well. Incredibly important in balancing those hormones. There are safe ways to do it, even using hormonal therapies like bioidentical hormone replacement. And there are also very good non-hormonal approaches for women that may not be a candidate for using any types of bioidentical hormone replacement. But we need to get those hormones stabilized and balanced so that we can get the sleep cycles regulated. And the same goes true for men. Men are experiencing sleep issues, and it's coinciding with a period in their life when they're noticing some other hormonal changes. We need to get those hormones balanced, and that will dramatically improve sleep. Now, a hormone that is less talked about when it comes to sleep issues that I touched on in the last segment has to do with cortisol. Now, cortisol is this stress hormone that our body produces. Most people think they have an association. They think cortisol, bad. Cortisol is not all bad. We need this stress hormone, and we need the spikes in the morning and the decrease at night to create this nice circadian rhythm. Cortisol is good in many ways. Cortisol is one of the most powerful stimuli for our bodies to produce energy. So if you want to feel awake, alert, ready to go in the morning, you want to feel energized and alert and active during the day and not be sleepy and worn down and tired and need caffeine and sugar and stimulants to keep you going, you need healthy levels of cortisol. Now, cortisol too high is a problem, but people don't really understand that cortisol being too low is often a problem as well. Now, what I see commonly happen for people who have sleep disturbances is that their cortisol levels don't drop at night like they should. So people end up with cortisol spikes in the evening. Now, cortisol is a stress hormone. So the one thing that oftentimes characterizes the sleep difficulties associated with cortisol spikes at night has to do with the ever-persistent symptom of mind racing, where people can't shut off their brain. They are tired. They may be exhausted. They go lay down to bed and boom, like a light bulb, the mind starts racing. What did I get done today? What do I have to do tomorrow? I need to make a list. I need to think about this. What about this? They're thinking about the landscaping project they were thinking about doing last year and designing, you know, the layout of their backyard when they should be going to sleep. Random things pop into the head. And you see this happen as well. People wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe they wake at 2 or 3 a.m. and boom, they're up. Immediately, the thoughts start flooding in and they can't shut it down. Or perhaps they're waking up at 4 a.m. The thoughts are flooding in. Maybe finally they drift off to sleep again around 6 and the alarm goes off at 6:30. Chronic state of sleep deprivation. Now, other things can cause mind racing as well, but cortisol is very much associated with it, and it's very common to have a cortisol spike at night when the overall circadian rhythm of the body has been disrupted or people have been under chronic stress for extended periods of time. So the adrenal glands are the gland that's responsible for releasing cortisol, and it's supposed to have this messaging from the brain and the signaling to tell the adrenal glands to release a flood of it in the morning and to slowly decrease production all throughout the day until it's basically non-existent at night. Well, if you put somebody under chronic stress, which I would argue most people in our culture, particularly in the Washington metro area, are under a particular large amount of stress, one of the first things that happens to our cortisol circadian rhythm is we start to end up with low cortisol in the morning and spiked cortisol at night. So this is the pattern where people wake up in the morning and they're tired and it's so hard to get out of bed. They can't get moving until they get their cup of coffee. Maybe by noontime or later on in the day, they're finally starting to get their engine running. They maybe have a little bit of another crash after lunch. But come evening time, 8, 9, 10 o'clock, they've maybe been exhausted all day long. In the evening, they start to get energized. They start to pick up. They get productive. They stay up late. They do their work. They surf the web. They do all their things, knowing that they're going to be so tired the next morning and they kind of wish they could go to sleep. It's a cortisol issue. Their cortisol levels are spiking at night. These are the people that say, I wish I could do my work at night, but I know I have to go to sleep, and they try and they have difficulty. There are great ways to modulate cortisol output at night. The other issue that might be happening is blood sugar ups and downs can cause cortisol spikes. So one of the things I will tell people is make sure that you're eating to stabilize your blood sugar all the way throughout the day. High protein breakfast, a nice good mix of fiber and protein and carbohydrates at lunch, good snacks chosen throughout the day that have a good mix of proteins and good quality fats, and a good well-rounded dinner, and maybe even sometimes a snack before bed for people that tend to get low blood sugar. I maybe have them do some apple slices and almond butter. Something that has some good quality carbohydrates from the fruit, as well as some good quality protein and fat from something like almonds. That can help stabilize the blood sugar and prevent cortisol spikes from happening in the middle of the night and from them waking up. And believe it or not, by balancing your blood sugar all throughout the day, you're less likely to deal with blood sugar abnormalities at night. So that's number one when trying to modulate cortisol, is let's work on your blood sugar, make sure that's in check so we're not getting blood sugar spikes. Number two, there are some really great herbs that we can use to support cortisol balance. One of my favorite is called ashwagandha, which is an Ayurvedic or Indian herb that has been used for very long periods of time to support balanced cortisol levels. The beautiful thing about ashwagandha is if your cortisol levels are down in the morning and you take it in the morning, it will support your adrenals for raising cortisol levels. If your cortisol levels are spiking at night and they're too high and you take ashwagandha, it'll actually help to bring them down a bit, which is really phenomenal. People don't understand that an herb can have a dual action on a system in the body because we're so used to pharmaceuticals, which are targeted specifically at one biochemical pathway. But understand that herbs have a huge broad array and a broad degree of active chemical and biochemical constituents that can affect our body in multiple different ways. The botanical name for ashwagandha is ashwagandha somnifera, it's actually Withania somnifera. The second portion, somnifera, relates to somnolence or sleep, its ability to help modulate cortisol levels. So it's a great one to try. There's also something called phosphatidylserine, which is a very safe supplement, often associated and used for enhancing cognition, memory, and brain function, which can indeed also support the ability of cortisol levels and the communication between the brain and the adrenal glands to reduce cortisol a bit. So the best way to do this is to work with a practitioner that can actually measure your cortisol levels in a very sensitive way. And when I say a very sensitive way, typically I recommend a saliva test for cortisol because that measures the free cortisol levels that are actually available to your cells. You take 4 samples in the course of the day within an hour of waking up, 3 hours after that, 3 hours after that, so it's roughly 8 a.m., noon, 4 p.m., and then one right before bed between 10 and 12, and we plot out your circadian rhythm of cortisol release. And if we see that your cortisol levels are spiking at night and you're having difficulty with sleep, guess what? We just found our answer. Now, that's why if you maybe tried melatonin or tried some other type of homeopathic over-the-counter sleep aid, it didn't work because it wasn't targeting the cortisol issue. So this is a really important thing, and this is, again, what I've been emphasizing week after week on the show. It's about individualized medicine, understanding your unique physiology, what's happening in your body, and creating a customized approach based on your needs, not just giving you a drug or medication that's going to knock you out and make you sleep. We want to understand and fix it because we know that the medication approaches to sleep disrupt the sleep cycles that we discussed early in the show, which makes for less restful, less rejuvenating sleep, even though you do sleep. If we balance your body with the hormone levels, whether it be the estrogen or testosterone or progesterone or cortisol, we're going to make sure that you sleep well, and we're going to do it by ensuring that you're getting the right quality of sleep and hitting all the sleep stages. When we come back from the break in the last segment, this is probably one of the most important topics to discuss in regulating sleep, neurotransmitter balance, and how our brain chemistry affects sleep. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after this break.
The moment you feel achy or run down, nip flu-like symptoms in the bud with Boron's Acylococcinum. Clinical studies show that Acylo, when taken at first signs of flu, reduces the duration and severity of flu-like symptoms such as headache, body aches, chills, and fever. For 65 years, families throughout the world have relied on Acylo. It works safely and naturally without causing side effects like drowsiness or interacting with other medications. Keep Acylo on hand and feel like yourself again. Acylo is available at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Acylo on the web at acylo.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is hot plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. 2 unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Kilham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants from the Science of Enzymatic Therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probilarty from Metagenics offers a new, targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probilarty provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probilarty is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and I've enjoyed being with you so far. Hopefully you're learning a little bit about sleep and sleep issues. That is the main focus of today's show. And again, we've really never spent an entire show on sleep and sleep problems, but I can't stress how important it is that people sleep well, which means let's define good sleep for a minute. Good sleep means that when you lay down, you should be able to fall asleep in about 15 minutes, no more. Typically, it should be less, but 15 minutes is about the top that I think it should take somebody to fall asleep. There should ideally be no waking throughout the night. So even waking to use the restroom, although people get very used to that and think that's very common, our body is supposed to, when we get into deep, deep, deep sleep, our body releases something called antidiuretic hormone. An antidiuretic hormone is the hormone that prevents us from having to urinate. So people who are getting up 2, 3, 4 times a night, typically they're not hitting their good sleep cycles, because during those good sleep cycles, particularly that phase 3 slow wave sleep, when we get the suppression of our body's ability or our body to urinate and to have diuretic activity, we shouldn't have to go to the bathroom. So I work with people all the time who get up frequently to urinate. They tell me it's fine. They get up, they go pee, they get back in bed, they fall right back asleep. But sometimes it's 2, 3, even 4 times a night. When we get them with their sleep cycles regulated and get them sleeping and hitting those deeper phases of sleep, guess what? Their 4 time a night going up to go to the bathroom either goes away or gets reduced to maybe once a night. That's much more restful and rejuvenating, because now they're hitting the good cycles of sleep. If you do wake up in the night, certainly if you go back to sleep, you should be able to fall back asleep easily, and you should be able to stay asleep until you've completed 6 to 8 hours of rest. So some people sleep well, they go to bed at 9 or they go to bed at 10 or 11, and they get up at 4 and they can't go back to bed, and they're just up, right? Well, they slept well from 10 until 4. That's their 6 hours, but most people need a little bit closer to 7 or 8. They may need an extra hour or two in there to really get restfulness, and that can sometimes be related to these hormones and cortisol spikes that we talked about. Now, in this last segment, we're going to talk about neurotransmitters. So neurotransmitters are these chemicals in our brain that really dictate a lot of the activity and a lot of the processes that happen in our brain. They're released by the neurons. Many people are familiar with these different names of neurotransmitters. Probably the most common one, or the one that is the most well known, is serotonin, right? That's the one where all of these new antidepressants and drugs work by modulating serotonin levels. But serotonin also plays a really important role in sleep for a few reasons. One of the most important reasons why serotonin plays an important role in sleep is because serotonin is the body's precursor to melatonin. Now, melatonin is this incredibly important hormone that our bodies produce that triggers our transition from wakefulness to sleep. It's the biological clock of the body telling us that it's time to wind down, get sleepy, and go to bed. The really interesting thing is that melatonin secretion is stimulated optimally by certain wavelengths of light. Now, this makes perfect sense. The wavelength of light that typically triggers melatonin release is actually like a red-orange light. That makes so much sense, because think about for the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years that humans were living on the earth, not in houses with artificial light. What did you see every night that oftentimes looks red or oranges? A sunset. And that sunset and those wavelengths and hues of light trigger a very small release of melatonin, typically somewhere around 5 to 7 o'clock at night. And that small release of melatonin is not the trigger that helps us to fall asleep, but that small trigger of melatonin sets the stage for a larger surge of melatonin to be released later on in the evening, closer to 8 to 10 at night, which then triggers ourselves to go to sleep. So some people can take melatonin, but it's actually a hormone that doesn't get into the brain very well. One of the best ways are some of these light therapies that people use, where you wear these glasses that shine and expose your eyes to this red-orangish hue of light that significantly boosts melatonin production directly in the brain. One of the interesting things about melatonin, not only does it help us to go to sleep, but what we're learning, it's an amazing antioxidant. We've known that for a while, but it seems to have this incredibly powerful antioxidant effect in the brain. And the brain produces more oxidative stress than any other organ in the body because it's so metabolically active. And the melatonin basically comes through at the end of the day and cleans out all of those oxidative stress, cleans out all of that damaging oxidative reactive species that can damage our brain. The melatonin just quiets down all the inflammation and basically keeps our brain young. So that's one place where serotonin comes in. And this is a great way. This is the reason why certain amino acids that are precursors to serotonin work so beautifully with sleep. Something called 5-hydroxytryptophan, or just straight tryptophan. These are simple amino acids. They're found in foods. We consume them every day in our diet. But what tryptophan does is converts to 5-hydroxytryptophan, which converts directly to serotonin. So we can boost serotonin levels in the brain without taking a drug. We can actually, in some ways, do it much better and safer by using these amino acids as building blocks, supplementing them as a pill or a supplement to give our body the building blocks it needs to make more of these neurotransmitters. So you make more serotonin, you have more serotonin on board in your body, then your body has more resources to make the melatonin. And it doesn't matter when you take the 5-HTP or the tryptophan if you're looking for sleep benefits. You could take it in the morning. You boost your serotonin levels throughout the day. You lighten your mood. You improve your outlook. Now you have more serotonin in your bloodstream. You can have greater production of melatonin later on in the day. Now, what's also interesting, previous in the show, I talked about how in phase three sleep, we need, or REM sleep, is suppressed by serotonin production. So I gave you the example of myself when I would dream and dream and dream and dream all night long and wake up exhausted. I was in REM sleep. I was skipping over slow wave sleep and residing in the state of rapid eye movement and dreaming, which is not as restful and rejuvenating as the phase three. When I started using an amino acid therapy, 5-HTP, before bed to help with my sleep, I was dreaming, but dreaming less. I would no longer have these nights where I dreamt all night long because my body, the serotonin, helps to suppress the REM phase and let your body get through the other phases in a more organized fashion. So serotonin, hugely, hugely important for sleep. The other one that's really important for sleep is GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid. This is our brain's most powerful inhibitory neurotransmitter. This is the neurotransmitter that activates the neurons in our brain that tell our brain to quiet down and relax. We have neurotransmitters like dopamine, epinephrine, norepinephrine, glutamate, histamine that charge our brain up. These are the ones, and we need a balance of excitation in the brain and inhibition. Because let's face it, sometimes our brains need to be really quick thinking and active. You have a stressful situation, you have an issue that you have to deal with that requires quick thinking, decision making, processing. You need all of these excitatory neurotransmitters to get the job done. But then you have to be able to apply the brakes, slow the brain down, quiet things down, and create a state of calm. And that's what GABA does. And GABA deficiencies can be incredibly common in the population. And if somebody has a GABA issue, supporting them with GABA, which can be given safely as a non-prescription over-the-counter supplement, can significantly improve sleep. But again, if somebody is having sleep problems and they go out and they try and take a GABA supplement, well, if their sleep issues were related to, as we talked about before, an elevation in cortisol, or let's say a deficiency in serotonin, taking GABA may not do all that much. So we have to find out why. And for neurotransmitters, there is a phenomenal test. We actually offer it through the Village Green. It's a urine collection that gives us an idea of what's going on with your brain neurotransmitters. It will measure levels of serotonin. It will measure levels of GABA, levels of epinephrine, norepinephrine, glutamate, dopamine, all the major brain neurotransmitters, so we can see exactly what is going on with your brain chemistry. Are there imbalances? And if so, how do we fix them to get you sleeping well? Dealing with sleep issues, I have found, is not difficult with using natural therapies. I can usually help people more help than they get from their prescription medications, but I can't do it unless I understand what's going on with their body. So some of these tests, like the saliva test for cortisol and the neurotransmitter evaluation, incredibly important. Folks, I am out of time, unfortunately. I really enjoy being with you all today. I hope you learned something. Don't hesitate to contact me at the Village Green if you have further questions. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, wishing you all the best of health.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.